How's everybody today? Praise God. Oh, God is good all the time. Amen. Grace like rain falling down on me. Hallelujah. Something I want to share this morning. In fact, there's a lot of things I'd like to share this morning. Hallelujah. You know, something that the Holy Spirit quickened me to, and that was about Friday night's anointing service. We do a Friday night anointing service, and the reason why we come in, thank you. The reason why we come into the anointing service, and the anointing service is about praising and worshiping. And one of the things the Spirit said to me Friday night, he said, and of course I'm sure everybody remembers and heard in certain areas, he said, we've come into that place to die. In other words, we come to die. And the reason for that is because we come to die to ourself. And when we come to die to ourself, what we're doing is we're fulfilling what the Lord says, deny yourself, pick up the cross and follow me. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that, you know, you got to come every Friday night, this, that, and whatever. But when it's opportunity to you, do it. You know, when my wife and I first came to the kingdom, man, I didn't miss nothing. I don't care if I went to services 6 days a week. Why? Because I was hungry for God's presence. I wanted more, and I always knew more. See, that's where the tabernacle's involved, because there's three chambers at a tabernacle. And Jesus said, I'm the Word. It's also associated with the Word. See, the Word of God is literal, but then there's mysteries of God. So you can read the Word literally, but then there's deeper things. And you don't get those things unless you're in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, thirsting, hungry for more. And the three chambers are chambers of the tabernacle, or the outer court, the holy place and the most holy place, because those are the three dimensions that God is trying to bring us to. He's trying to raise up third dimensional warriors. And there's too many first dimension, second dimension, and not enough third dimension. And he said, you've come to die. That's why you come for Friday night. You come to die. Why? Because you want more. We come to services. We come to Bible studies. It's amazing how many times that excuse comes to say, well, I got to wash my car, or I got to clean my house, or whatever, something foolish. Those are things that God checks us on to see what we put first. And it's got nothing to do with your eternal life. Do you understand? I mean, if you keep it up, it can. I'm sharing this with you because God is trying to raise third-dimensional warriors to get in. And in this place, he said, you've come to die. See, people aren't really willing to die. They call themselves believers or believers, Christians, but they're satisfied in the outer court. Some of them are satisfied in the second court, the holy place. But it doesn't last long, because if you don't reach the most holy place, you end up falling back to the outer court. See, it's the most holy place that you must drink from. It's the most holy place that you touch the altar. It's the most holy place where you die. That's the place you actually die. That's where exchanges. See, so in this, we come together to worship. We worship with all of our heart. We want to touch his heart. And in that, what happens is, why? Because we want an exchange. We want to exchange our life for his life. We want to exchange our will for his will. We want to exchange our thoughts for his thoughts. We want to exchange our infirmities for which are a weakness for his strength. Those things do not happen until you're willing to die first. Then an exchange is manifested. See, everybody wants something from God, but not willing to die for it. In other words, exchange. Where there's no exchange, there's no change. Where there's no change, there's no victory. People wonder why they stay in the same affliction, because they're not really, really willing to make the change. They want change, but they're not willing to make the change. You make the change by dying. When the change is exchanged and there's a change, then there's victory. There is no victory without exchange. I can't emphasize that enough. There's no victory without exchange. You'll go in that same old cycle, that same old routine. You'll go up and down. You'll be led by your emotions. You'll be led by what you think, what you see. You'll be led by all of the foolishness that the world has to offer. You'll walk in fear. In fact, you'll come to a place where you're afraid of reality because there's not been an exchange. You'll make every excuse that there is to not know complete truth, only partial, because complete truth will kill you. Is everybody okay? there are levels of affliction. And in these levels of affliction, there's purposes, reasons, and God's got a plan. Amen? There's inherited things where people are afflicted. There's temporary afflictions. And then, of course, there's eternal affliction, which is called torment forever. There's what we call a self-imposed affliction. There's tested afflictions where we're actually tested by God. And there's areas where we're attacked by the devil, which is an affliction. And then there's false afflictions where people are really not being afflicted. They just believe they are because of their flawed belief system. In Acts chapter 10, would you go there, please? Acts chapter 10. And in the penetrating prayers, there is a prayer of exchange. Use it. Acts chapter 10. I was at an event yesterday that grieved my spirit. Just grieved my spirit. I wanted to grab the mic and preach Jesus. They were there as a comment, the gathering was for a good purpose, but the comment and exaltation was in the wrong direction. And I saw nothing but affliction. Soldiers that have come home from wars that are still battling when the war is over. But they're battling spiritually. They're battling with addiction. They're battling. And their common together is the wounds and hurts of affliction. That's their common. Instead of Jesus being their common. It grieved me so badly. When I see a grief somewhere and I wait for the Lord, I wait for him to open the door. Because I believe it's an area that needs to be penetrated. It was grieving. I saw so many wounded soldiers, no arms, no legs. And the older ones that were there that were giving their testimonies of war and how they fought together and so forth and how many people died. But they gave no glory to God that they made it home. They lived because of their families. I heard no prayer there. And it grieved me so badly that Jesus was not the common. It was their afflictions. And I encourage you to pray for those who've come home from war, veterans. It's important. Addicted to alcohol, cigarettes. Oh my gosh. It's terrible. Lust, sin. Trying to relieve their pains and their afflictions by using carnal things when only Jesus can relieve you. In Acts chapter 10, in verse 36, and it said, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with them. In other words, they were oppressed, they were afflicted. Afflicted. People were afflicted. Again, whether it be self-imposed, whether it be an attack, whether it be a testing from God, whether it be an inherited affliction, you could have been born with something. They were oppressed by the devil. They were afflicted. Again, the anointing is the eternal weapon of combat. Has everybody got it? The anointing is the eternal weapon of combat with his presence, his blood, his word, his name, his keys, knowledge, and fellowship. I'm going to say that again, because without those things, you got no victory. The eternal weapon of combat is the anointing with his eternal presence, blood, word, name, keys, knowledge, and fellowship. There's no victory, because without his presence, when you're really in his presence, in that presence of the third chamber, there's a complete exchange. No exchange, no change, no change, no victory. You'll stay stagnant. The enemy will put limitations on your life. You can only grow so far. You can't grow anymore. Well, I want to bust through the tabernacle. I'm going to go first, second, third chamber, and fourth. In Hosea 4:6. Oh, hallelujah. We know this scripture by heart. It should be in your heart. Would you read it with me? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That word knowledge is multiple use. It means destroyed for not only lack of knowledge, but understanding and wisdom. Lack of those things. People lack. Why? Because deception brings an individual to another place of blindness. You know, one of the things that the Lord said about Daniel, when Daniel cried out to God, he got an answer from God. Why? Because he set his heart to understand and humbled himself. It's a place that we must always get. It's a prayer that you must ask God. Lord, set my heart to understand and keep me humble. Keep me humble, Lord. See, this is where we have relationship. When your dependence is truly on him, this is not religious ritual type of thing. That's a language that you speak to God like you're speaking to your father. You're speaking to one who holds life, who can change life, who can fix anything, who can turn anything, who can stop anything. This is where relationship is. This is where we speak to him. Father, Father, take my heart. Expose it. Show me what it is. Why am I not advancing? Why am I not growing? Why am I not maturing? Why am I still a baby being a believer so many years? Let him expose you. That way things can change. Why? Because once you make the exchange, you're going to change. When there's change, there'll be victory. If there's no change, if you're still doing the same old thing, still going back in the same cycle, still fighting the same stuff, you need to find out what you're still holding on to. We haven't exchanged yet. Hello? No exchange, no change, no victory. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And he says, because you've rejected the knowledge, I will also reject you for being a priest for me. You know, the priesthood, I want you to listen to this. The priesthood is the second chamber. That's something that must always be maintained. If you can't minister to the Lord, you got no right minister to nobody else. That's the second chamber. He says, and because you have forgotten the law of your God, see, he says, okay, I'm going to reject you for rejecting my knowledge, which is associated with my word, my promises, and my law. And because you've rejected my law, I will reject or I will forget your children. Wow, I'll forget your children. Many of our children have gone astray. We've lost children, all kinds of stuff because of the things that we've done. Amen? Things that we've done. Destroyed for lack of knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, there are levels of affliction. In other words, there's multiple types of affliction. Reasons why. There's self-imposed. There's testing. There's attacks. There's false. There's things that are inherited. There's temporary afflictions. And then, of course, there's the eternal affliction, which is torment, away from God and away from his presence forever. You know what one of the afflictions can be also? Knowing that what you were supposed to do and didn't. Can you imagine? See, if we're really standing before God now, we won't have to be so concerned about standing before him later. But the thing is that's why the Lord is standing before. Let me tell you, he's before every one of us all the time. There's nothing you don't see. He knows it all. He knows what your thoughts are. He knows what your attitude, your motive is. He knows it all. He knows what your intent is. He knows everything. There's nothing he doesn't know. So if we're really truly standing before him every day, and we're really seeing him, the Bible says, seek his face, right? So then you'll see him talk to you. Okay, Lord, what are you saying? You know. And you know what? There are things that we know that we justify, we cover, we put under the rug, and we keep stepping over, tripping over the same old thing all the time. We go back into the same affliction. No exchange, no change, no victory. But it starts with death. No death, you can't exchange. See, to be alive, you fight for what you have. To be dead, you exchange for what you have. Because you're not living for you no more. You live for him. Whatever I have isn't mine anyways. Is everybody okay? It's amazing how many times we fight for what we think is ours when we don't own nothing. It's all his. We're just stewards. We get all of ours when we go home. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Yes, ma'am. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Do not be what? Let's start at verse 11. Oh, house of true ministries, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own what? Affections, desires, things that you want to do. Well, I would just believe that I want to do this and I want to do that and I need to get this and I need to get that. I need to go to 14 years of school to get this and do that and whatever. And God said, don't do that. I got another plan for you. No, that can't be God. If God didn't want me to do that, he wouldn't give me the desire. He would give me the desire. Oh, really? How many times have you rejected the desire of God and taken your own? Let me tell you, your desire can outweigh God's desire if you allow it. In fact, your desire will speak louder than God's desire. Why? Because you didn't make the exchange. How many times we find out later in life, oh my God, I married the wrong person. Oh my God, that wasn't the right job. Man, I went to school for all that and I'm not even using it. All of those things that we just, you know, we just thought it was our desire. But God can turn all things into good, can't he? You are not restricted by us. You are restricted by your own affections. Now in return for the same, I speak to you as children. You also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship is righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion is light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part is a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I'll dwell in them, I'll walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. If you do this, if you come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and don't what? Touch. Don't touch what's unclean. See, we touch things that are unclean with associations, bring impartations. Associations will bring impartations. Well, how is that? Well, because the Bible says bad company corrupts what? Good habits. You know, there's something very powerful, and I was sharing this with my wife this morning, that in the Matrix movie, of course, we talk about the Matrix because that's a phenomenal flick. There's something about when Morpheus takes Neo to the into the other realm, and he's training him. And they're walking through all of these people, but they're walking against the flow. And as they're walking, one of the things he says to him, he says that some people are not ready to be unplugged. In other words, rescued. He said, those are your enemies. If they're not ready to come out, they're your enemy. See, I don't have friends. I have brothers and sisters. My friends in the world are my enemies. Why? Because they'll turn on me anytime. I never know when. And they'll turn on you sometime, and you don't know when. And it's a terrible thing when a believer turns on you because of the spirit, the demonic spirits. So he says, come out from among them, be separate, because associations bring impartations. They bring afflictions, brings open doors. He said, I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Look at what are things we touch? We touch things with our eyes, with our ears, with our mouth when we speak. We touch things with emotion. We touch things that are unclean in the world. And it brings afflictions. Galatians chapter 6. Why is this message today? This message today is because there will be more afflictions coming. There will be more persecutions. Things are getting worse. They won't get better. And we must be ready. And verse 7. Galatians 6 verse 7. Read it with me, please. Do not be what? Do not be what? Deceived. Satan's greatest weapon, right? Don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever man sows, that he will also reap. How many of you know this is a self-imposed affliction? What you sow is what you reap. So one of the things that we need to do, because it says here, he who sows to his flesh will the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will the Spirit reap everlasting life. So if you are reaping corruption, if you're still going in the same old cycle, it's because you're not sowing. And I don't mean about money. I'm talking about your mouth, because there's life and death in your tongue. I'm talking about your mouth that you're sowing. If you are praising, that's why we have that Friday night anointing service where those words come up. You get to sow. Why? Because while you're sowing, you're exchanging. And without exchange, you don't change. When there's no change, there's no victory. But that's why you must come to a place of death. You want to die to yourself. You want to. If you don't want to, if you're still fighting for your life, then you're lost. Living outside salvation's truth. Because living inside salvation's truth is a desire to want to die to yourself. If that desire has slipped you, you're in a lost condition. For he who sows to his flesh reaps corruption, and he who sows to the Spirit reaps life. So we get an opportunity to sow. You know, people think that just laboring is sowing. That is a sowing in one sense. But there's another sowing that brings life. Labor doesn't bring life. Sowing with your tongue brings life or death. So the more you worship the Lord, the more you praise and worship God, the more you decree the word of the Lord, is sowing in the Spirit, because Spirit means breath. The more you sow, the more you exchange, the more you exchange, the more you change, and the more victories you'll have in life, and you won't go around those same dumb cycles again. Addiction is just a part of a cycle. Hurt's a part of a cycle. Offense is a part of a cycle. All of these things. Fear is a part of a cycle. People fighting for their lives. I thought we were supposed to be dead. Jesus said he bought you. When you gave your life to Christ, you lost your life. So you and I don't have a life. We have his life. And I'd rather have his life than my life, because when I had my life, it was a mess, torment, afflictions every day. Never knew what I was going to do. Now I don't have to know. I just have to trust. Oh, yes. So we touch things with our eyes, ears, mouth, hands. How about rebellion? Look, there's a ripple effect to the things that we do. There's a ripple effect to our spouses. There's a ripple effect to our children. And there's a ripple effect to our possessions and finances. There's an affliction that is rippled effect. So many times, I didn't know when I was in the world, I would think, well, I'm only hurting myself. Everybody says, man, why aren't you killing yourself? Yeah, I'm killing myself, so what? I'm not hurting nobody else, but I was, because there was a ripple effect. Children go astray. All kinds of things begin to happen. There's still a ripple effect. Every decision you make, there's a ripple effect some way. Every decision. See, when you're in the Spirit, you see things through, so you see the end result of a ripple effect. But when you're in the flesh, you don't see anything there. That's all you care about is yourself. What's good for me today? I don't care about anybody else. It's all about me. Sounds like part of the Trinity of Satan, me, myself, and I. Ephesians chapter 4. Is everybody okay? Good. Hallelujah. Ooh. In verse 20, Ephesians 4, verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. You've not learned the anointing. You've not understood the essence of God's eternal presence, power, and truth. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as his truth is in Jesus, that you put off, that means you're willing to die. Concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the what? The new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Not religiousness, holiness. Not memorization of the word, holiness. And that can only be established through his presence. Because his presence is holy. And in his presence is the word. Because it's the word of God. The manifested word of God. Not what's written, not in logos, but in rhema. And his presence, which releases and speaks to you. That's relationship. In verse 25, therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Do not be angry. Don't be angry and don't sin. When you are angry, it doesn't mean that you're not going to get angry at something. Hello? Everybody gets angry with something. But don't sin. Don't react. Exchange. Be angry and don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. I'm telling you, I can't. I see people giving place to the devil all the time. I hate when I do that. You say something and go, oh, man. But see, we can shut that door right away. If there's truly a relationship, if there's truly a relationship, it's like, Lord, sorry, it was a bonehead. You cast the devil out. You don't justify, oh, God, it really wasn't my fault. You saw what they did to me. Oh, God, get them. Sound like Adam and Eve. Hello? All right, Adam, what happened? My wife did it. Eve, what happened? The serpent did it. How about one of you doing it? Didn't anybody take accountability? Responsibility? That's relationship. We don't blame others for our stupidity. We take responsibility. Then we exchange it. Hello. Oh, glory. Nor give place to the devil. I love it. Look at. Let him who stole steal no longer. Verse 28. But rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give who is in need. Let no corrupt word, hello, corrupt word. How about lying? That's a corrupt word. How about exaggeration? That's a corrupt word. How about accusation, accusing someone that you don't even know about? How many times have you heard something from someone and it painted a picture, then you found out it wasn't true? Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. Look at it. If you don't expose you, God will. He's got a way of exposing us. That it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve. Hello. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. There are people that have grieved the Holy Spirit that they don't even have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. They've been believers for 10 or 20 years, and they still think that they have a relationship with the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit's backed off from them. He's backed off. And they think they're just granola, nutty and fruity. They ain't right. They're not right. You can tell the Holy Spirit's distant from them. Why? No conviction. Where's the conviction? Let me tell you something. When you're close to the Holy Spirit, you're going to be convicted on a daily basis. Conviction. When the Holy Spirit is close to you, there's a want, a desire to change. There's a want, a desire to exchange when the Holy Spirit is close to you. We're to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. We're to be warriors. We're to be the light of this world. How can we be the light of this world if we're not filled with the light of God? Still playing our dumb games. Still playing religion. Well, I have priorities. Yeah, well, they're out of order. Get them right. Amen? Look at, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, hello, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Make no place. Anybody know rebellion is a place? It's a place. How about disobedience? Works of the flesh. How about accursed items? You talk about afflictions. Oh, man, that's mine. It's been handed down by family. That's right. That's why your family's a mess. No, but it's special to me, right? I can tell. It's so special to you, you can't change. Has everybody got it? Accursed items draw demonic activity. Disobedience. How about idols? I'm telling you, there's people that go to more sports things than they do God's presence. They go to more concerts than they do God's presence. They go to more entertainment than they do God's presence. God's presence. Man, how can we not desire His presence? Something's not right. God's presence. Proverbs 15. Those are idols. How about vows? Making promises and never fulfilling them. I get a lot of people that tell me all kinds of stuff, and they never fulfill it. You know what happens? They disappear. I don't see them no more because they're not willing to humble themselves, full of pride. They justify, well, this. How about humbling yourself before the mighty hand of God? Then He will lift you up. See, those things push people away, the demonic influence. In Proverbs 15 and verse 14, I believe, because the devil loves to promote isolation. Verse 14, it says, the heart of him, is everybody with me? The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge. But the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. And all the days of the afflicted are what? Evil. But he who is of a merry heart has a continual what? Feast. Hallelujah. Yeah, you're going to go through it. But praise God, you're going to be joyful because you're going through it. Psalm 119. Okay, so you made the mistake, you repented, praise God. You're going to go through it. You still reap what you sow. Even when you repent, you're still going to reap. Repentance doesn't stop reaping. Sowing does. Come on, has everybody got that? Sowing exchanges the reaping. Repentance stops you from continuing to do the same thing. Lord, forgive me. Okay, I'm done. Why? Because repent means what? Turn away. Lord, forgive me. Okay, let's get back together. Okay, so you're going to still reap what you sowed. So now you start sowing in the Spirit more, so you outrun some of that reaping. That's all. In Psalm 119 and verse 66, let's start at verse 65. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and what? Knowledge. for I believe your commandments. Look at this, verse 67. Everyone read it. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Hello. So a person that goes astray is going to get afflicted, aren't they? That's called self-imposed afflictions, isn't it? Because what you sow is what you reap. But now I keep your word. Why? Because I learned something. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. And went they went astray by deception, didn't they? Psalm 143. Psalm 143. Would you read it with me? Verse 3. It says, for the enemy has persecuted my soul, which is your mind, your will, your emotions, and imaginations. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness, like those who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me, and my heart within me is distressed. Let me tell you, when the enemy attacks an oppression and brings a person's soul into captivity, and in this captivity, an individual is basically in darkness. See, but when these things occur, start to begin for me and you, when we sense oppression coming, we bust through it by praise and worship. We bust through it by decreeing. Why? Because you're going to sow. You're going to sow out. Has everybody got it? You sow out of it. You sow to your sow what? And the enemy does attack. He attacks. That's one of the afflictions. You might not have done anything, and he's going to attack you. Why? Because he doesn't want the gospel to go forward. Ooh, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. But quit blaming your affliction on the enemy when you're the one that opened the door. Oh, the devil's attacking me big time. Okay, look it. First check your doors. Quit blaming, oh, the devil's got me. Yes. I heard it all the time. Oh, the devil's really attacking. Oh, hello, welcome to the earth. Oh, he's really attacking me. Why, you're out there preaching the gospel? Are you doing anything worth being attacked for? No, then you got enough self-imposed affliction. Hello? See, people are willing to blame the devil for everything when they've touched something, when they've opened the door, when they've grieved the Holy Spirit. Where did I say to go, Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians. New Bible, skinny pages. They got to get ruffled. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 14, I believe. Would you read it with me? For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they do not please God and are contrary to all men. Look at forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. In other words, you will be attacked by the devil when you're out doing the right thing. Now, you may think you're doing the right thing. That's where you need to have a relationship with the Lord, who's going to expose whether you're doing the right thing or not. Look at, just because you're out feeding, clothing, and sheltering those in need doesn't mean you're doing the right thing. That's a good thing. But if it's not God's will for you, if you're supposed to be doing something else, and you're always being attacked, that's a self-imposed affliction. Why? Because it's disobedience. It's disobedience. Again, I hear people go to the crack house to try and rescue someone, and they end up staying there. They go to the bars, whatever. Now I'm going to arrest my friend who's drinking. Yeah, we'll see him 4 days later in detox center. The enemy is always trying to come against that arena of declaring truth. But if you're not one out there that's declaring truth and you're being afflicted all the time, then there's a self-imposed affliction because of what you're sowing or something that you're doing. Or maybe you haven't fulfilled vows. There's an open door somewhere. Maybe you touched something unclean. In Acts 22. You know, individuals get so busy trying to take care of their life, they forget about taking care of the kingdom. Kingdom first. The Bible says, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all things will be added to you. People are trying to add things to themselves without putting the kingdom first. Kingdom principles, kingdom responsibilities, the will of the kingdom. Why? Because it's an eternal thing, not temporary. Acts 22, is everybody there? verse 1, brethren, let's read it together, and fathers, hear my defense before you now. And when they heard that he spoke to them in Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. Then he said, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tartarus, of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God, as you all are today. I persecuted this way. Who is this? Saul, who became Paul. He's speaking to them. He says, I persecuted this way. I persecuted the believers. I was a devout Jew. I was one who believed in it. I was a Pharisee. My father, my grandfather, I inherited it. We were keepers of the law, but not understanders of it. I persecuted this way to the death. In other words, he killed, he allowed, he knew that they would die. He persecuted them, binding and delivering into prisons both men, women, and children. As also the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren. In other words, the high priest, the elders, and the council of the elders approved him to go out and kill believers. And went to Damascus to bring in chains, even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished for doing the right, for following Jesus. But then Jesus showed up in Saul's path, slapped him off his horse, blinded him for 3 days, caused him to fast and pray, sent him servant of his inn, laid hands on him, got filled with the Holy Spirit, scales come off his eyes, and he realized what an idiot he was and how deceived and religious he was. Oh, he did everything according to the letter. He memorized it all. He knew all the rituals. He knew everything, but he didn't know him. See, no relationship. You can have a relationship with the letter and never have a relationship with him. That's relationship, communication, daddy. Hosea 5. God used Paul to rescue many. Still doing it. We're speaking from his epistles or his letters. Frozen times of revelation. Woo! Being released right now. Right into your spirit. Whether you accept it, you embrace it, you covet it, and you change because you're willing to make an exchange of what's happening today. If you're being convicted today, that's good. If you're wanting to make a change, that's great. If you're willing to die for the cause of truth, that's wonderful. I guarantee victory when there's death desired, exchanged, change, then victory. I guarantee it. I can't tell you something I don't experience. Do I make mistakes? Yeah, I make mistakes. And I realize that when I don't make exchanges, I don't have victory. And I hate losing battles. Ask my wife. I'm a poor loser in battles of the Spirit. All right, I repent. I won't justify. But you know what? When you fall into that place where you're losing, you must exchange it to be joyful for the person that's winning. Then you can go home and cry. Just don't let anybody see it, okay? I love my afflictions. I play Maxi on the tennis court, and I get afflicted. Gary and I play, and when we play, man, we play for hours out there. And of course, I come home like this. And then I hear from everyone around me, oh, self-imposed afflictions, huh? Hey, but I did go to the court. It might not have been the outer court or the holy court, but I went to a court. Hallelujah. There's something about the court that just reminds me of the tabernacle, you know? Oh, glory. Hosea chapter 5. Y'all need to get on the court more. Let's see. Hosea 5:14, I believe. Did we go there yet? Oh, glory to God. Hosea 5, verse 14, let's read it. For I will be like a lion to Ephraim, like a young lion to the house of Judah. I, even I, will tear them and go away. I will take them away, and no one shall rescue. I will return again to my people till they what? Acknowledge their offense. Then they will seek my face. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. Hello? Sometimes God allows you to go right into it because you've turned his back on. You turned your back on him. And you go into the affliction. Then you begin to seek him. Why? Because did you ever notice that when you're in trouble, you seek God? Oh, God. When you're driving down the road and a boop, boop, boop. Oh, God, help it. When you're in that towboat, oh, no, I forgot it. Didn't seek to be. Lord, forgive me. But see, when there's things that are done in ignorance, God is so merciful. As long as you recognize it right away. Lord, forgive me for being a bonehead on this. Then he rescues you from it. But when you're not and you're trying to justify it, forget it. So we fall in these afflictions until we acknowledge our offense, we acknowledge our sin, we acknowledge our transgression, we acknowledge our ungodly desires. Why? Look, when you acknowledge something, then what do you do with it? You exchange it. When you exchange it, you change. When you change, you have victory. No change, no victory. Amen? Psalm 119. Cool. Levels of affliction. Psalm 119. Verse 75. Would you read it with me, please? I know, O Lord, that your judgments are what? Right. And that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. In other words, look at, I know I'm, you know that you're in affliction because of something that you've done. Amen? See, recognizing that you're in affliction is important. So what it does is it causes you to search out what's the problem. And you don't pick up the phone, you go to the throne. And the Lord tells you to pick up the phone, then you do it. But let me share something with you. If you're not consistent, if you're not disciplined, if you're not keeping the Lord before you, you're always going to go in affliction because you're not willing to die. And if you're not willing to die, you're not willing to exchange. And if you're not willing to exchange, you're not willing to change, and you're not going to have victory. Amen? Isaiah 48. Isaiah 48, verse 9. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. For my name's sake, I will defer my anger, and for my praise, I will restrain it from you, so that I do not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. There's times when God tests you. He sends you through. You know how he tests you sometimes? With a challenge. He'll challenge. There's an air, something will come across your path, and you're going to have to be challenged with a choice. And he wants to know whether you really want to do what he wants to do, what you want to do, what your spouse wants to do, whatever your desires want to do, whatever it is. He wants to know whether you're going to do what he wants you to do. He wants to know if he's truly first in your life. Because if he's truly not first in your life, you don't get everything. Is everybody okay? If you want God to give you everything, then you got to give him everything. Look at what goes on. Look at the next verse. For my own sake, I will do it. For how should my name be profaned? I will not give my glory to another. In other words, I won't share everything I have with someone who's not willing to share everything with me. See, there's an exchange made. There's an exchange. You want everything he has, then you got to give him everything that you have. Everything. No exchange of that, then you'll get partial. Tested in the furnace of affliction. In other words, you're going to get chastened. You're going to get corrected. In 1 Corinthians 11, we say we're willing to give him everything, but we don't show it. 1 Corinthians 11. You know, I'll never forget when I cried out to the Lord and said, help me. Help me. It took years of crying out to the Lord when I finally said, okay, I'll do whatever it takes. You know what he said to me? Show me. Show you? Okay. I did everything in my own strength to show him. But it was actually him releasing more and more of his strength. And I didn't even accept Jesus as Lord and Savior yet. I just called out to God. God, I know that there's really a God. I know I see shadows. I know I hear voices. I know I'm not nuts. And if I am nuts, I need help. And if I'm not nuts, I really need help. So please help me. Okay, show me you're willing to do whatever it takes. Okay, and I did. Man, I locked myself in the house. I didn't care what was what. I wasn't going to go out and go back there again. And those demons in me were screaming and crying. Come on, let's go use. Let's go do this, man. I didn't care. I would have tied myself to the bed. I couldn't walk by a phone booth without shaking. It was a terrible thing. I went into detox. I did what I said. I'll show you. I went into detox. Got out of detox. Realized my home was emptied. Lost everything. Got rid of the people and everyone that I knew that things weren't right. For some reason, I kept saying it. My gosh, I don't know what's going on, but this ain't right. This ain't right. This ain't right. This ain't right. My mouth still wasn't right. I wasn't right. But things were beginning to happen. Then I accepted Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. He showed up, delivered me, healed me, filled me, and I'm the way I am now. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31. Would you read it? For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Hello. Who's in your mirror? But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. Hello. So we're going to be chastened by the Lord. He's going to put us in an affliction so that we wake up and be rescued. So we want it. He's given us an opportunity to say, look, don't you see the garbage you're in? Don't you see what's going on? Come on, I'm giving you an opportunity to escape this, or you're going to be condemned with the world. How are you going to have victory if you're not willing to exchange and you're not willing to change? Hebrews 12, verse 5. For you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons and daughters. In other words, my children, my sons, don't despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son and daughter whom he receives. See, look at, if you endure chastening, many people run. They're in the afflictions. You know what they run back to? The world. They think it's better. And that's all they do is get into bigger affliction. And things get worse, and they stay in that cycle. And they're complaining, and they're grumbling, and they're blaming everybody else. Da, 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 da. And it doesn't change. They run back to darkness, because that's their only knowing of home now. They run to darkness instead of to light, because light exposes. Light causes you to want to exchange. So they run to darkness. It says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons and daughters. For what son or daughter is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons and daughters. See, anybody ever heard the old saying, when things get tough, you got to what? Toughen up, man. You got to toughen up. You got to man up and woman up and do the right thing. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect, shall we not? Much more readily be subjection to the Father of spirits and live. Chastening. 2 Corinthians 4. These are levels of affliction. Again, there's the inherited, temporary, and eternal. And you sure don't want the eternal one. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Do it. Practice it. Get yourself behind you. Let's speak verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our what? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment compared to eternity, come on, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we are actually when we go into these things, these are light afflictions. God, the Bible says God won't give you any more than you can handle. So if you take on more, that's up to you. God won't give you any more. Amen? And it's a light compared to what awaits us, compared to who we truly are. These are light afflictions compared to time. Compared to eternity, this is nothing. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. So that when those stocks keep coming, man, I'm going through it. Then get through it. Well, you didn't shut up. Just get through it. You don't have to tell everybody you're going through it. We all know. James 1:2. My brethren, come on. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. When you fall into various trials, which are afflictions. He said, count it joy. Look, you're going to count it joy, especially when you know God is working with you on this. If there's truly a relationship, it's joy. There's times when I have to laugh at my affliction. Because I'm like, man, I deserve that. What a bonehead. You know? But I can laugh with the Lord through it. As long as I'm willing to correct it. I'm willing to make the exchange. That's correction. Making the exchange. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience, which is endurance. Endurance. We are in need of endurance to get through these things. We are in need of endurance to be disciplined. We are in need of endurance to be consistent. We are in need of endurance. Keeping the Lord first in everything we do, no matter what. Look at our households won't maintain unless the Lord is first. Unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain. Amen? Then he says something powerful. He says, but let patience have its perfect work. Hello. I hear people, don't pray for patience. Well, that's pretty dumb, don't pray for patience. It's called known as endurance, and it's also a fruit of the Spirit. So you're going to pray, not going to pray for the fruit of the Spirit? Well, I go through all kinds of stuff. The only reason why you're going through stuff because you're self-inflicted stuff, your self-imposed afflictions, and you're blaming it on, don't pray for this. It's just God exposing your self-imposed afflictions, exposing your enemy, exposing open doors so you can make an exchange, change, and have victory. Hello? But no, I'm going to do it my way. He says this, but let patience have its perfect work that you may be what? Perfect and complete and lacking nothing. Nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it to all liberally and without reproach, and let it be given to him. So he's saying you're going to need wisdom, aren't you? Amen? Look it. We've got to come to a point where we're going to need to tighten up, wise up, and grow up. We're at that point now. It's time to tighten up, wise up, and grow up. Because things are moving quickly out there, and we need to be ready. Big time. Amen? And I'm going to close at 1 Peter chapter 1. It's time to what? Tighten up, wise up, and grow up. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Let's read it together. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope, to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by what? Various trials or your afflictions, which are but for a moment, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy expressibly and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Levels of affliction. Lord, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. I pray today, Lord, that the seed be imparted to your children, servants of the Most High, that it be protected by the blood of the Lamb and grow and bear fruit for your glory, and that it would penetrate to put into practice and preparation, that we would judge ourselves on a daily basis, that you would stand before us and make yourself so tangible to us. I pray blessing on your people, blessing on your word, and blessing on this house. In Jesus' name.